Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Had one of my students comment about my radio show during class on Monday, and it's not a comment I haven't heard before, though I haven't heard it in quite a while. And he's from Detroit, so excited about the NFL draft heading to his city. And he's much more chill, much more laid back. And he said to me, so I was kind of surprised when I listened to your radio show. Now, some of the students had listened to the show beforehand or knew of me beforehand. I actually had one student say that he to do some research on me before he decided to take the class. He listened to part of my radio show, which is funny. But anyway, this student says, I was a little surprised because I thought at night you got to be a little more chill, like laid back, calmer, I think is what he was trying to say, quieter. People are trying to sleep. In my head, I'm thinking, well, that's their problem. If you want to sleep, don't be listening to our show. And then I remember how often we've caught people falling asleep on the phones. And we have a whole montage of snoring, which is amazing, that we trot out every now and then. So whatever it is that you need, if you can fall asleep to the show and what you need is sleep. Some people fall asleep with the TV on. I can't do that, but some people do. So I'm sure after a while, maybe it's something that you can kind of assimilate into your nighttime routine. But I would think that more people who are awake either late night on the West Coast or working overnight, so working graveyard shift, maybe studying. I've got a student in here with me, just finished up a project, whatever it is, driving overnight, or now it's 4 o'clock on the East Coast and 4 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. You've got people who are waking up to start their morning routine and missed what happened late last night. So probably didn't see the end of Nuggets Lakers. And we just love how the audience turns over. But I kind of believe that all of the segments of our audience, except for maybe a handful of people who really do want to sleep and should probably change to a different show or a different opportunity, I kind of feel like most of you are looking for the energy. So that's good. I like it. We definitely bring the energy. And I think in this case, there's no excuse for not having energy after what we saw on the court and the ice. And here I thought, I don't know that I thought it would be the top story, but I at least thought that it would be part of the show. And we can't spend a whole lot of time on it. But the fact that Zach Wilson is no longer a Jet, I thought that would resonate a little more and at least be one of the top three stories. But Zach Wilson, true to form in his NFL career, has been shoved to the side. And there are far bigger storylines now. Yeah, you have to try to mess up sports radio on a night like this. You really can't mess it up unless you have no idea what happened. So to see Jamal Murray break out of a shooting slump with a buzzer beater that doesn't go in till after the buzzer sounds. Like, that's the part that's so incredible, right? He shoots it, buzzer sounds, ball goes through the hoop, crowd goes wild. I mean, this is classic. It's so classic. Those moments, iconic moments that we remember in sports. And to see the Knicks, who do what very few teams have done over the past several decades, which is complete a comeback after they're down 5 points in the final 30 seconds of a game, and the way that it transpired, because they needed not just a Brunson bouncer off the rim, but they needed a turnover deep in the backcourt. They needed not just a offensive rebound, but a guy who had just missed to take another shot and have it be true. And then the defense on the other end as well. There was a block shot on Tyrese Maxey that preserved that lead, but to score the final 8 points in 30 seconds, it's Reggie Miller-esque. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's, you want to talk about legendary, make sure you Google Reggie Miller Knicks game and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. And then the Hurricane. And in every way, we could kind of flip the question on its head. We're asking you the craziest comeback, and how would you rank these? And I'm still deciding. I actually think the Knicks for me is number one. I'm going to go Canes number two because of the bang bang portion of that. And I know that the Jamal Murray moment is probably the most dramatic moment of the night, because it was by definition a buzzer beater and it was classic. But they did have an entire second half, and the Lakers were slowly coming apart. They were slowly disintegrating. That lead was disintegrating. And I think it's even more devastating for the Lakers than maybe the Sixers. The Islanders has got to be pretty devastated. But the fact that the Lakers could see it coming, and they could hear the Nuggets reeling them in, and those old kind of ghosts and demons, and really the Nuggets have their number. What do the Lakers have to do in the name of sports? What do the Lakers have to do to beat the defending champions? This maybe was, because of the buzzer beater, was a, you know, one that people will go back to. But this collapse by the Lakers started early in the second half. And so Jamal was really the capper and the punch to the gut, or the little Lakers, if you will. But now they've lost 10 straight to Denver. And so this one's so demoralizing, because it doesn't seem to matter what they do or how far they're ahead, they cannot beat the defending champion. So rank those comebacks. For me, I'm going Knicks because of the dramatic 30 seconds. Yeah, that's from the category of you can't make this stuff up. For the Hurricanes, I'll go number two just because they scored 5 goals in a row. And that's, I don't want to say it's unheard of in hockey. That's certainly not true. But in playoff hockey, that's fairly, it's not just impressive, but it's, you've got goalies on both ends, right, who are among the best at what they do. And to see something like that happen, and to have it happen so late in the game too, where they're really running on fumes at that point, and five unanswered goals, that stands out as well. So I'll go Knicks, Canes, and then Nuggets, though I do love this for Jamal. I love the fact that Jamal, and Jalen Brunson, too, we talked about it. But for Jamal, he'd not shot well. He was frustrated. He had 6 points going into the fourth quarter. So the Nuggets were coming back without him, if you will. And then he makes the contributions late, right? So every time the Lakers get a lead, there's Jamal Murray, like a little brother, annoying little brother that won't go away. And then little brother grows up and beats big brother. And I'm kind of thinking, like, LeBron James is the big brother, right? LeBron James is a future Hall of Famer. And he had Jamal's number earlier in this game. A couple of block shots against Jamal Murray. And Jamal just keeps coming. And it's funny. It actually, I would say, is something I can relate to. Because when I was 9th grade or so, I had a growth spurt. And I was already 5'10 at you know, ninth grade. So I was taller than almost everybody in my class, including most of the guys. My little brother, he's 15 months younger. At the time, he's my little brother. He was shorter than me until he got to be a sophomore, started growing. And then by junior year, he's 6'4". And all of a sudden, all of this time I spent pushing my little brother around came back to bite me in the ass. So my little brother became much bigger than me and no longer could I do that. So boy, paybacks were a you-know-what with my brother for all of the pain and suffering and harm that I had inflicted on him when I was bullying him and bossing him around when we were younger and when he was smaller. A little bit like that. Jamal Murray, I mean, he's now an NBA champion, but he went through some injuries and some, you know, nearly 2 years away from the game and not able to participate with his teammates. And LeBron James he's outgoing, but he's still as good as he's been, but he's still terrific and has preserved his career by the attention he pays to his fitness and his health and his body and his mentals, of course. And in this game, he's still getting the best of Jamal until Jamal rises up in that fourth quarter. And yeah, it was awesome to see him and to hear what his coach and his teammates had to say about him afterwards. Like, that's Jamal. We still have confidence in Jamal, no matter how bad it may look on the outside, no matter what people might say about Jamal. We know what he's capable of. And so that was a common theme post game. So I'll go Knicks, Canes, Nuggets. What say you? You can find us on Twitter at Amy After Hours. And I know Jay is doing some extensive retweeting. And then you can also find that question on our Facebook page and our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I have a really funny story to tell you guys. And I've been waiting just because we were talking about those crazy comebacks. But Jay, what do you think? Is it possible? Now, I don't know that they'll get as many votes, but is it possible that the Toronto Maple Leafs against the Bruins should qualify as a crazy comeback? Or are we just labeling it comeback, not crazy?
Probably just a comeback when compared to the other ones that happened tonight, I'd say.
Okay. But here's the personal narrative about the Maple Leafs rally past the Bruins. I'm in my hotel room after I taught class, so I'm here at Syracuse University, and the hotel is just kitty corner off the quarter of campus. In fact, it's great because I walk all of like maybe 300 yards from the hotel to come over to Newhouse where I teach and also where I'm hosting my show right now here on the Infinity Sports Network. And so I get back to my hotel room. Well, I stop at, you know, downstairs and I order food and I get upstairs and I'm settling in. I've got my laptop open. I've got my food and I'm sitting on the bed, not laying down, but I'm sitting on the bed and I've got everything I need and I'm propped up on a couple of pillows and I'm up against the wall in my hotel room. The TV is out in front of me and it's clear as I am watching Maple Leafs Bruins and also Knicks and Sixers, but Maple Leafs Bruins and kind of going back and forth between those two games, it's clear that I'm sharing a wall in my hotel room with a Bruins fan on the other side. And I can't hear his TV. I don't know if he can hear my TV, but I can hear him in every big moment of that game, especially late. I'm trying to think when I first turned it on. I think it was in early second period when I get back from class. And so they're already into the game. And it takes me a minute to figure out what's happening, but I keep hearing these groans on the other side of the hotel room wall. And while I'm going back and forth between the two games, I'm not really tracking like when he's groaning, but I keep hearing these noises from the other side of the wall. It became very evident to me as I'm watching Maple Leafs Bruins and he's reacting in real time that he is watching the same game on the other side of this wall between our hotel rooms and he's clearly a Bruins fan. So we'll play this moment, right? As the Bruins have a lead and they cough up the lead. And then as the Maple Leafs take their lead, it becomes pretty clear that this guy is in agony.
Off the boards, it comes up on the wing. A long lead pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! has given the Leafs the lead. 7:54 to go. What a play. And Matthews has goal number 70.
Kind of. It's not the regular season, but it does count as a goal, and it's his 70th of the year, so I'll allow it. The call there on Maple Leafs Radio. Okay, so in the second period is when I start to match up the groans of my compadre on the other side of the wall with what's happening in this game. So when John Tavares scores, it was a power play goal for the Leafs late in the second period, it ties the game, and I hear, that's the first time I really heard the, So as I'm watching into the third period, there's moments, you know, I can kind of hear the reaction. But when Austin Matthews gets that goal, what was it, about 8 minutes to go, I think, in the third period, somewhere in there, Austin Matthews gets that goal. And on the other side, now I realize that's it, the timing matches up. I hear that from the other side of the wall. And then. So I'm at this point where I'm also having to watch the Knicks, and I don't have a DVR in the hotel room, so I have to go back and forth. And if I miss something, then I have to catch it on either Twitter or go back and watch it on YouTube. And so I'm kind of flipping back and forth, and I hear, you know, him reacting a little bit. It's not quite as dramatic as with the Matthews goal. And so I finish up with Knicks and Sixers and watch those final nutty 30 seconds. I'm probably doing the same thing, reacting, though not the groaning. And then I get back to the Maple Leafs Bruins, final seconds, the game is over. He reacts to a couple of late attempts by the Bruins, and then as the final buzzer sounds and the Maple Leafs are celebrating, and I'm watching it and I'm hearing him on the other side of the wall, like it's probably the longest and loudest groan of the whole night. So yeah, it took me a minute, but once I matched up the groans with the Maple Leaf success, it became very apparent that there was a Bruins fan in the hotel there in Syracuse. So hockey fans, well, just sports fans in general, sometimes it really affects our mood, does it not? I hope the poor guy was able to sleep, because I'm not sure after all of that. Maybe, though, he wore himself out with the, I mean, loud enough that I could hear it in my hotel room. And now I'm wondering, so I had one phone call with my husband, wondering, could he hear me as clearly as I could hear him, though I wasn't on the phone going, Not tonight, anyway. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm here in Syracuse, and it's one of those nights that you love to be a sports talk radio host. So one of those perfect nights where it's not that you don't have to prepare, but your preparation is really about watching games and just reacting to what we saw. And so whether we should include the Maple Leafs comeback, it wasn't quite as dramatic, though great for Austin Matthews. And of course, for him, he admitted that he was not, well, he admitted that he was upset about the fact that he didn't get number 70 during the regular season. He wasn't going to play like it didn't matter. He wasn't going to play cool. He was bummed. He was disappointed. And you remember in the last regular season game, Jay and I talked about it, he had 12 shots. If that wasn't a season high, it was pretty darn close. So is it worth it to wait until the playoffs?
I don't know how to answer that, honestly. It's, you know, it's an important time of year for us, for our team. And, you know, these moments obviously are emotional and mean a lot. So, really happy about the win, and obviously going home, split 1-1. You know, you got to continue to stay focused.
Oh, gosh. How many times have you heard or will you hear the adage about playoffs over the next 24 hours? Well, the series doesn't start until you get a team win on the road, or all we had to do was win one. That's the whole point. You just win one, and you grab the home ice advantage. So you're probably going to hear those cliches a bunch coming up on Tuesday. So yeah, Maple Leafs do have a comeback, though it's maybe not quite as dramatic. But still, for Austin Matthews, 70th goal, whether it counts as number 70, it certainly doesn't in the regular season. But they needed him in this moment, and it was a pretty wild celebration for the Maple Leafs, but doing it in hostile territory. And boy, do I love this Maple Leafs Bruins rivalry and the history that they have. It's a lot of fun to watch these two teams go back and forth. I don't know. I guess you could ask Bruins fans or New Englanders if it's more delicious than Montreal-Boston. I think I might nod Montreal-Boston, but still, any of the Canadian teams against the Bruins and then the Canadian teams. It's funny how the nation of Canada comes together this time of the year. We don't care who it is. We just need a Canadian team to get back to the Stanley Cup final and win the cup for the first time in eons. What was the craziest comeback of the night, and how would you rank Knicks, Nuggets, Canes, and their success in a variety of ways? Oh, yeah, that was amazing as well, too, is that no, not one of these comebacks looked the same. So find us on Twitter, After Hours, Amy After Hours, whoopsie. I'm doing pretty well here. By the way, Producer Jay, as part of the assignment for my students for this third class that we had on Monday night, they had to listen to one of my segments. I didn't care what segment it was, but they had to listen to one. And from that segment or from the part of the show they listened to, determine a few of my qualities as a host. And it was really about identifying who they want to be as hosts. So I wanted them to do it first with an established host, and then they could figure out what they want to sound like in their style and their voice. So that was kind of the idea. Well, a bunch of them happened to listen to one of our recent shows where I accidentally dropped the former name, or at least part of the former name of this network. And boy, did they all enjoy pointing it out. The fact that I made that mistake and had to correct myself. I was like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, just wait. Just wait until you sit in a studio and do 4 hours of live radio per night and see how far you get down the road without making a mistake.
Saying the same name for 12 years.
Right, after saying the same name for the better part of 12 years, exactly. So yeah, it was kind of funny that they enjoyed pointing out a mistake. I feel like if they listen more often, they would recognize that that is that's probably something we do really well on this show, because there goes the perfect show, right?
The soleus eclipse of the heart.
They didn't hear that one?
I don't know if anyone heard about the soleus eclipse of the heart.
I mean, that was brilliant. So
right. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. I made Jay laugh, which isn't that hard to do, but he's still excited about the soleus eclipse of the heart. I'm still excited about dropping the word soleus, although it's kind of lost some of its luster with Giannis still dealing with his soleus strain or whatever it is. So on Twitter, at Amy After Hours, on our Facebook page, how do you rank these crazy Monday night comebacks? Boy, Manic Monday, it was perfect if you're a sports fan. Well, if you're not a Sixers fan or a Lakers fan or an Isles fan. So take those three fan bases out of it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Somebody's got to be on the wrong end of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
If we don't trade him, we're going to keep him. So it's possible that he could do it here.
There was
probably better from his standpoint, it's probably better if he changes faces.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Woody Johnson on Zach Wilson. It's probably better if he changes places and teams and locker rooms and uniforms and cities. Man, there was a time during the last NFL season where every other word out of the average radio host and average TV host, average NFL analyst's mouth was Zach Wilson. Oh my gosh. It's amazing because he did so little in his time in New York, and yet he was a major talking point for multiple seasons. I thought that the Jets would get rid of him last year in the offseason. They didn't. They bring in Aaron Rodgers. They were never, never wanting Zach Wilson to see the field in 2023. But, you know, four plays in. And so Zach Wilson ends up spending another season there. It didn't go any better than the year before, although at least his teammates weren't wearing T-shirts that were designed to support his backup QB in the locker room. At least there wasn't that component of it. And Zach did come back in and later in the season get another chance to start, and he tried hard. I'll give him that. He said, I thought, the right things in 23 where he had screwed up in 22. And so I feel like he grew as a leader, as a man. I'm not sure he grew as a football player, as a quarterback, and that's partly due to the Jets. It's not entirely on Zach Wilson. Sometimes our development hit, well, we'll keep it to the NFL. Quarterback's development can be stunted by being in the wrong place with the wrong people. And so you could point to the coaching staff and the limitations. You could point to a team that was built entirely for Aaron Rodgers and was never supposed to be a team around Zach Wilson's skill set, limited as they are. And so this is kind of the perfect storm that went so horribly wrong for Zach Wilson. And the Jets end up pulling the trigger. They trade him away to the Denver Broncos. And gosh, that's the other piece of this that I don't get. But they end up trading him. And Ian Rappaport giving us kind of an idea of what this means for the two different franchises.
The former number two overall pick obviously went to the New York Jets. We are here talking about the quarterbacks, talking about teams believing they are selecting their franchise quarterback. The Jets were here 3 years ago. This is exactly where the Jets were, thinking that they were taking the BYU passer, so talented, going to be their answer for the next 15 years. Obviously, that did not work out. They have Aaron Rodgers now. They are fine, but they officially moved on today from Zach Wilson, sending him to Denver, giving him that fresh start with Coach Sean Payton. The deal includes a late-round pick swap, so 6 for 7. And the Jets are paying about half of Zach Wilson's salary. I think most important for them, they are moving on. And the Broncos have maybe another interesting option at some point in the quarterback room.
I'm not sure I agree with that. But they do get him for cheap. I mean, as you hear Ian say on NFL Network, the Jets are picking up half his salary, which isn't a ton anyway, because he's still under his rookie deal. But for the Jets, maybe it's a year too late, right? Maybe they get more. I don't know if they get more from last year. Maybe they were hoping that after a year of learning behind Aaron Rodgers, he might be a more viable commodity. But yeah, they're just giving him away at this point to the Broncos. So that's the Jets side of things. They've got Tyrod Taylor, who's not super durable, but they're hoping he doesn't play either, that Aaron Rodgers will make it all the way through the 24 season. Now, from the Broncos' perspective, I'm not sure they know what they're doing, and I definitely don't know what they're doing with their quarterback room. There have been misfires and miscalculations and just poor decisions, poor moves made since Peyton Manning retired. It's just been a revolving door at quarterback, and constant change equals constant losing in sports. So I don't know what this means, really. I'm not sure that they expect Wilson to be there very long. And you hear Ian kind of hedge his bet about whether or not this is an option for the Broncos. Maybe it's an option. But the Broncos, they divest themselves of Russell Wilson. They do have the number 12 pick in the first round. They're looking to select a quarterback. Maybe it's not there. Maybe it's somewhere else. They have Jarrett Stidham on the roster. He started the last two games of the season, and now they have Zach Wilson. I don't know. What are the chances that Stidham or Wilson is even with the team a year from now? Who knows? So that revolving door continues in Denver, and they're still looking for the answer after Peyton Manning's retirement, which happened following Super Bowl 50. 50, that was a lot of years ago. Haven't made the playoffs since. Speaking of Super Bowl, Matt Ryan was in one. He was an MVP that year, and it was following the 15th season. In 2016, of course, the 28-3 collapse against the Patriots. Ryan stuck around for a couple more years. He was there in Atlanta. Then we saw him go to the Indianapolis Colts, where he ends up getting benched. He didn't officially retire until Monday, but he finally does retire a Falcon, and it was good to hear from him. They had a nice ceremony and also a press conference for Matt.
I wanted nothing else, you know, as a kid, other than to play professional sports. And in April of 2008, you gave me that opportunity, and I know draft picks are never, you know, an easy decision. There's lots of options. There's lots of ways you can go. You know, but for me, it was a responsibility every day to make sure you guys were right. And I tried to do that the best that I could for the 14 seasons here. So thank you for the confidence then. Thank you for the confidence, you know, through those 14 years. And thank you for the friendship, you know, that continues on. I'll certainly always be pulling for Atlanta and the Falcons.
15 seasons in his career, 4 Pro Bowls and the MVP, not to mention the Super Bowl appearance that at the time was the first ever game that went into overtime, but also just a collapse that people are still talking about like it was yesterday. And having been there, you want to talk about stunning. Whoa, I'll never forget the experience of watching that play out between the Patriots and the Falcons. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Matt first announces his retirement. Now remember, he was working in media this past year, but officially announces his retirement with a love letter to Atlanta that he put out there on social media. So 16 years after he's drafted, and he talks about his childhood dream, and that he's honored to retire as a Falcon. And I love the kind of the perspective on his journey, big picture, right? A lot of guys, when they retire, they just aren't ready to have that perspective about the journey as opposed to where they are right now. But Matt, because he's been out of the game for a year, does have that perspective. And of course they'll honor him in Atlanta. And actually Arthur Blank released a statement saying that he believes Ryan should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure about that, but you know, Blank able to revel in this moment, this reunion with Matt Ryan. And Ryan certainly deserves the respect and I think the support of the fans whenever that day comes, because there were a lot of pretty incredible years, dedicated years, in which he was a stalwart for them, right? He was steady Eddie. You may not have thought that he was one of those quarterbacks like a Josh Allen who comes up with those incredible moments that cause your mouth to drop open, but he was steady for them, and that was what they needed. And for years, he made them relevant.
To the fans of Atlanta, I want to say thank you. You know, I think for the 14 years that I was the quarterback here, I felt the passion and the energy all the time, and it wasn't all smooth sailing. You know, there were ups and downs, and I'm sure lots of frustration and lots of, you know, enjoyable times as well. But I never took it lightly. You know, I kind of understood the position and the responsibility, you know, that I had. And I tried to do it as best as I could every day to come out and to be the best version of myself. And try and be the best quarterback I could be for this organization, for this city.
And what did that look like, right? What did the Falcons get from Matt Ryan over his time as their starter?
sometimes it's, you can do all that stuff and it's still going to hurt. And so I'm proud of that. I look back at it now and I'm kind of like, how did you do, like, what were you doing? You know, like, but I loved it. And I loved every minute of that. And partly I think as athletes, what makes you feel so alive too, is knowing that you can grind through things and you can go out there and you can get it done. So I am proud of that. You know, I feel like, you know, the organization paid me a great contract and it was my responsibility to be able to show up and earn it, you know, every week. And I took that seriously.
So able to be out there week in and week out, despite the actual physical pain, is what he's referring to. He was durable. I think of actually when I hear him talk about his durability and that being a key to his success, I think about Kirk Cousins and how many hits he takes. And I know he missed a second half of last season because of the Achilles. So that's one that you can't just play through. But the number of aches and pains that he's played through and that toughness. Another guy that was in the NFC North for years, Matthew Stafford, and how he would play on one leg. And we do see a lot of quarterbacks do that. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, another guy who's known for his toughness and led the Chiefs to a Super Bowl while he's on one leg, for heaven's sakes, in the end of 2022 into the 23 Super Bowl. So yeah, these guys take their licks and they keep on kicking. That's my loose interpretation of the cliche that we hear in sports and in life. But for Matt Ryan, that was one of his strengths, is that he was on the field. And sometimes that's really the key. If you can just be on the field, you can make a difference. You may not be the most dramatic, have the biggest arm, though he did have a really good arm. But just to be in the arena is half the battle. So you look at his tenure as a starter in Atlanta. 2008 was his rookie year, 16 games started. In 9, 14. In 10, 16. 11, 16. 12, 16. 13, he played all 16 games. In 2014, another Pro Bowl season, all 16 games. So in the course of his time in Atlanta, I mean, I could continue giving you the number 16, but through his time in Atlanta, in those 14 seasons, he missed a grand total of 3 games. That's amazing. Props to Matt Ryan for that, because it is not easy to do when guys are coming at you and their entire goal is to take you out or to tackle you and to make it hurt. But his durability, his tenure, actually, from 2008 to 21, so they made the transition from 16 to 17 regular season games. You include that as well. So go from 8 to 21, and he misses a grand total of 3 starts, 3 games. Wow, that's amazing. And even in Indianapolis, he was healthy. They just benched him because they benched him because they had an offensive line that was going to get him killed. So yeah, that's something that definitely, if Matt Ryan gets into the Hall of Fame, will be one of the reasons why. So farewell to Matt, not a surprise, but still now official. And farewell in New York to Zach Wilson. And I kind of wonder, just because our headquarters are located in New York City, and when I do drive home on mornings after the show, I'll spend a little time listening to our New York affiliate, Boomer and Geo. So Boomer Esiason and the former NFL MVP. I wonder how much they're even going to acknowledge the Zach Wilson, considering the Knicks' crazy comeback and they've got Knicks fever right now. I'm not in New York City to be able to listen. So somebody's, Jay, you're going to have to let me know how they start and if they even mention Zach Wilson, because I kind of feel like they're going to be heavy Knicks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Rank these crazy comebacks from Monday night on our Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Amy After Hours or my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page too.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jamal Murray's got it. 5 seconds left. Murray dribbles right. 3-2. Murray for the win. Good. Nuggets win it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the call from John Ireland's perspective on the Lakers radio network. And while we're going to get to the Nuggets and Jamal Murray's buzzer beater, and it's certainly the defending champions getting a game like this and a comeback like this, a 20-point comeback in the second half, it's a massive confidence boost for a team that's already on the throne. And here come the Lakers with what they think is their best shot. And what's that saying? If you come at the king, you best not miss. Well, they thought they had it. They thought they had the king exactly where they wanted him. And instead, it blows up in their face and turns into an even bigger mess for the Lakers. And the way that the Nuggets were able to make the defensive adjustment at halftime, that's huge, right? And so now the Lakers have lost 10 in a row to Denver, and it's worse than it's ever been. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Infinity Sports Network. I'm here on the campus of Syracuse University. It's been quite the juggling act for me, from class and all the creative elements that I talked about with my students on Monday evening, and then to see them all play out and to use them now on our show tonight, where comebacks, crazy comebacks, are the story from a manic Monday. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, what you're going to hear a lot on Tuesday is LeBron James and the final comments that he made in his post-game press conference. So he had a lot to say about the comeback, about the Lakers, about this hurt, how this hurt. But what you'll hear over and over replayed are his comments about the officiating and in his opinion, the major mistakes that have been made.
D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f- do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers Knicks game too. What are we doing?
And then he gets up and he walks out. So he's incensed about the fact that there is replay. That's an option. And even after the replay center goes and looks at this one particular moment, and he also cites a moment that he believes applies in the Knicks and Sixers, that it's still not right. And the NBA still messes up, even though they've got the mechanism built in that would allow them to get it right. And I suppose you could read into him acknowledging the fact that, you know, the game is happening at a extremely fast and physical pace, and it's an option for the officials to check themselves, right? It's checks and balances that if a team wants to have a second look, it's crazy now the teams have access to replay technology as well. So they can get a second look, or, you know, a player can say, no, this is worth it. And instead of the NBA getting it right, this replay center kind of doubles down, and LeBron's asking, what's the point of it anyway? And D'Angelo Russell, while he doesn't say it like LeBron does with the interjections of the words we can't play on the radio, D'Angelo tweets, that's a foul. We all saw it on national television. And so LeBron saying it and voicing his displeasure in a way is probably going to earn him a fine. He also went after the officials while he was still out there in the arena. But the, you know, the Lakers felt like they missed out on some free throws. And as D'Lo is driving to the hoop, he gets hit in the face. And how does that not become a moment where the Lakers are able to kind of stop the bleeding, if you will, and use that to their advantage, and being aggressive and feeling like they got the call? It's subjective. Replay didn't, the officials didn't agree, and you're going to hear a lot about that. But let's not make any mistake about this point. That's not why the Lakers lost. They were down, or they were up 20 in the second half, and they lost to a team they had no business losing to at that point. We'll talk about that after the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.